Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
And finally on our program tonight, Markets and Company News, I'm in conversation with Viv Govender, Wealth Manager at Rand Swiss. Viv, good evening to you and welcome. So let's start with this. The U.S. has blacklisted Tencent Holdings and another entity called Contemporary Amperex Technology for alleged links to the Chinese military. And this has had an impact, quite a severe impact, in fact, today on Naspers and Prosus, down by almost 10% in morning trade.
Yes. I mean, I think we are seeing the last days of the Biden administration being quite active. I mean, we've seen, for instance, he's done quite a few things, executive orders, et cetera, in the last little bit. And I don't know if this kind of stuff is going to continue into the Trump administration. And even though Trump, as a Republican, historically expected Republicans to be a bit more, anti-China, there is some evidence that he might be more amenable to some of these Chinese tech companies, especially like TikTok has been mentioned a couple of times. For a quirk of history, the international social media companies like TikTok have been maybe slightly more favorable to Trump than some of the domestic ones like Facebook. But that might be something that we see changing with the new administration, if that is possible. So I would say, of course, this is a bad bit of news for Tencent, but we are going to see a new administration, and we don't know for certain just how they're going to react. On the other side of that, I would have to say that there are some members of the Trump administration coming in, like J.D. Vance, who are going to be, in many ways, more anti-China. They have often talked about the fact that they want to split the China-Russia alliance apart. People like David Sachs, who's going to be in charge of the AI and crypto segment of the administration, has also talked in the past about being anti-China. And from a point of view where you're looking at, high-tech, AI stuff, we could see more of an anti-China move coming into play as well. So we don't really know what the new, administration, which is coming about in 2 weeks' time, will actually be doing with regards to China. So yes, this is bad news, but we don't know the future as yet of U.S.-China relations.
So Viv, just test these numbers for me. As far as Naspers shares are concerned, down by 9.4% today, Prosus by almost 9%. The group holds around 100 billion U.S. Tencent stake through Prosus. And this is also a reminder that there were recent woes that saw Tencent on the back foot because of a crackdown on Chinese technology firms kind of middle of last year. And again, local investors here would be worried naturally.
Oh yeah, most certainly. But you have to understand that the Chinese messing around with the these tech companies, especially, is something you just have to take as a risk of being involved in China. And quite frankly, to a certain extent, these companies have grown really well for a long time until, like you mentioned, quite recently with the crackdown started happening. But to a certain extent, that also means because they have been pushed down by political events, that if these political events were to change, you could see a recovery coming in quite strongly. So it's a bit of a two-edged sword there. I personally am not a big fan of investing in China just because of the risk, like I said, around the politics. You never know which side of the bed Xi Jinping is going to get up on. And you never know exactly how that's going to affect your investments in China. So that's one of the things I would say be wary about. But, like I said, a lot of stuff is being driven politically. And if the political situation changes, either with regards to the Chinese administration or with regards to how the U.S. treats China, we could see, strong moves in either direction from here.
Let's turn our attention quickly from tech to heavy industry, and this couldn't come at a worse time, but steel major ArcelorMittal saying it's now going to proceed with the winding down of its so-called long steel businesses. Around 3,500 direct and indirect jobs are at stake. And the company today saying that the writing has been on the wall, and it says government could have done a lot more in terms of enabling a better trading environment.
Yeah, look, I mean, this is a company which, if you had to go back, to the heydays of, the 2008 or so, is down, like 99% almost in valuation. In 5 years, the last 5 years or so, it's down like 90% from where it was, like in 2022. It's an industry that's obviously under a huge amount of pressure, globally, because of competition from places like China, et cetera. But I do think that, the fact of the matter is that government has not been as smart as it should be. I mean, this industry, I can also name, for instance, the construction industry, are things that, you know, any modern industrial economy is going to need their own local industry if they can't have it. And the government has not really viewed these companies as being essential from a strategic point of view, beyond perhaps in terms of employment or, you know, competition policy. And I do think that the longer term, that's probably going to come back to bite us. You know, we've had obviously a number of issues in South Africa around things like energy, around things like transport, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the inability to export stuff, the inability to transport things around the country, the inability to get electricity going. You know, those have obviously been problems that the government has been facing. But I think it should have had some kind of strategy in order to ensure, you know, that these companies, like the steel company, et cetera, are doing reasonably well enough to survive. And the example I'd given, you know, as a counterexample, yeah, is you say, okay, this is maybe something that is not what the modern world does, but the US just recently intervened to make sure that the Japanese, which is not exactly a huge, you know, adversary to the US, you know, could not buy the US steel company. And that is basically industrial policy like we're talking about. And, you know, obviously the US is in a far stronger economic situation than we are in South Africa. And obviously the Japanese are far more dependent on the US than any of our suppliers are going to be dependent on us. But they still were willing to intervene just to make sure that they protect what is considered to be an essential industry.
Just finally, Viv, another company that was on the back foot for most of last year, but nice to see that it's begun the year on a more positive note, and that's Pick n Pay. Obviously, that Boxer IPO has helped its share price. And just looking at my watch list today, up by just over 5%, Boxer up by almost 3%.
Yeah, look, I mean, this share price is in the last year up almost double. If you had to look for the lows from March last year till now, it's up 127%. Still down over the last 5 years, and you know, from the max, it's down significantly, and it's lost a big step, you know, against main rival, which would be, you know, ShopRite down, you know, to the last decade or so, this thing's down about, you know, 50%. But the recovery is coming through, as you did mention. And we need to see, you know, obviously more competition in the sector. But for people that don't understand, I mean, Pick n Pay has a market capitalization of about, say, 25 billion. If you had to compare that to, for instance, ShopRite, the market capitalization of ShopRite is closer to 180 billion. Mm. It's vastly larger. And in terms of the earnings here, I mean, we don't really see ShopRite being massively overpriced in terms of how much its PE ratio, et cetera, is. I do think, however, going forward from here, this is a particular sector that's going to be under huge pressure in terms of, technological change in the next, say, 5-10 years or so. Things like, for instance, self-driving vehicles. We're already seeing, for instance, places like China, and it sounds science fiction-y, but they're having, you know, autonomous drones delivering stuff to your door. You know, that's amazing. But if it's happening in some parts of the world, eventually the technology will be safe enough to happen in South Africa as well. And that's not going to take, you know, decades. It's going to take 5 to 10 years, like I said. And in that environment, you know, you really want to be the smaller player when there's a behemoth that's, you know, almost 10 times your size in the marketplace and basically has reserves of cash, et cetera, that is going to dwarf you. So I do think that, yes, there's a bit of recovery coming through with Pick n Pay. But this is not a sector that you would think that normally the retail grocery sector is a nice, you know, conservative, defensive sector in many ways. I think in the next 5 to 10 years, you're going to see the sector have more of a change than you've seen in the last, say, maybe 50 years.
Well, I, for one, am looking forward to having my groceries delivered by a drone in the near future. Viv Govender, thank you very much indeed. Wealth manager Rand Swiss, we'll talk again next week. Always appreciate the insight.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.